It's Thursday, December 6th, and we'll have more fallout from the Mike McCarthy firing. And how did the Packers and the Bucks become the same organizationally? Speaking of the Bucks, we've hit the quarter pole of the season. And what's up with Chris Middleton? And Paul Goldschmidt is now a member of the St. Louis Cardinals. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome in to another edition of the Epic Egg Podcast, episode
315.
Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie, you're with you.
One away from 316.
Austin 316 says, I just kicked your ass. Mitchie, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
It's quite a week.
St. Nick is happening.
Yes. Yes, I have to head over to Walgreens.
If you believe in that.
Pick up some St. Nick goodies.
If you've ever participated in that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I feel like I might have snaked my way into a gift or something some point on St. Nick, saying like, ooh, my, you know, so-and-so's doing it.
Yeah, exactly. It's usually just minor gifts. It's nothing major.
Right.
You don't get the whole cow, if you will.
Right.
Just get a little.
I think that might have been what it was, is I got like a stocking stuffer,
yeah,
or something,
exactly.
You know?
Absolutely. That's what it's there for. That's what St. Nick's about.
Right.
So we'll see if I got a proper stocking stuffer for the lady friend. And if I did, great. If I didn't, I'll feel like
there's
an asshole.
Joke in there, but I will let
oh,
it go.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. We are off to a hot start. So, yes, big show, Mitch. Big, big show. Needless to say, not for me. But, yeah, excited to talk today. Obviously, I've been doing the daily tap all week, covering the McCarthy exodus. It was funny, too. I was reflecting, and last week we're on the show. We're ending the show, and I'm like, yeah, if nothing's crazy, we'll do a lot of Bucks talk because we definitely owe the Bucks.
And I thought of that today, too.
Some of that, and then it's like, yep, something crazy happened. That usually happens. Whenever I make promises about what's going to be on this next show, it ends up being that it's a crazy week. And it's getting crazier as the week goes on. And so we are going to talk about the Bucks. We're going to talk about the Packers first, and then a little bit of hot stove to wrap up the show. But yeah, the Packers and Bucks.
This would otherwise be a pretty, I mean, you know, you'd have the Packers, but I mean, it'd be an otherwise pretty pedestrian. I mean, as far as, you know, it's kind of a dead zone right now.
I don't know.
Early
December. It's a loaded weekend. I mean, we're going to talk about the weekend watch list tomorrow, but you have Golden State, Milwaukee. You have Toronto, Milwaukee. You have the Marquette versus Wisconsin matchup. You have the Packers and Falcons, which falls fourth on that list, but that's still a pretty solid weekend.
And obviously, it's must-watch TV to see how Rodgers responds.
Right, and you can listen.
And the whole team responds.
You can listen to the Daily Tap yesterday. I kind of explained how Aaron Rodgers is in a no-win situation, that if he does really well, he's going to get criticized, and if he's shitty, it's going to be still like, well, has Aaron Rodgers lost a step? Is he declining? Yada, yada, and all the bullshit.
Yep.
So go back and listen to that. But
well, for me personally, I'm in a great mood because I love dysfunction. It's my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And it's rampant.
And in a way, you know, I can't remember. I think it was like 3 weeks ago I had said to you, maybe it was last week, and I was saying how you and I and other people who are kind of sports fans of Wisconsin sports, not just Packer fans, but because we've been through the Brewers, because we've been through the Bucks, we've sort of dealt with dysfunction, and this is nothing new. It's just new for the Packers.
Right.
And it's just new for the Packers. And so these Packer fans, these Wally Waukeshas, these Walter Wausaus of the world, I guess that's the same thing, Wally and Walter. Is that the same word? Yeah. No,
yeah,
Wallace.
It's
close. Walt Waukesha, let's just put it that way. You know, the, you know, Andy Ashwabadon.
that probably is someone's name.
Yeah, probably. Fuck me. Danny DePere. Just
that for sure is.
Hey, come on down to Danny DePere's. We got your boats. Get them now. Boats, boats, boats. But anyways, these guys haven't dealt with it. They just haven't been through the ringer of sort of dysfunction. And all of a sudden, the Packers and Bucks sort of blended as one. And the Bucks once famously left off the
Packers have stooped to their level.
Once the Bucks at one point fell off the Wisconsin, those dumbass fucking logos back in the early early aughts.
It was 2011.
2011, yep. No horns were added. Now, recent ones, horns have been added. Those are still some of the most ugly fucking things that have ever been created on the face of this planet.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, here and over there. But yes, the Packers and the Bucks are now kind of one. Like, this was very much, if you really sort of look at this, it's kind of what happened with Jason Kidd. And it's kind of the same story. And it's different in why was there dysfunction. And, you know, for McCarthy, he overstayed his welcome. He should have just, they should have got rid of him after last season when Ted Thompson left. But that would have been too much change for the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
And that wouldn't really be the Packer way.
Which is,
I'm making quotation marks who we don't have a live stream here.
It was funny to hear a friend of the podcast, Seth, trash the Packer way.
Right.
The other night, because it was just like 2 years ago, or less, you probably would have not said that. And now it's like all of a sudden the Packer way is bullshit. Okay.
Well, I think just we kind of say, what has it got you, right? What is it? What is it sort of? And maybe that's Mark Murphy's frustration.
Again, a couple years ago, it's the Packer way. We can bring whoever, like we're the Patriots. We can bring whoever in. And if, you know, they'll just abide and you know, follow the way of the Packers. And, you know, you're not seeing that right now. I mean,
and I podcast on Tuesday, Make Sense of Mark Murphy, and I've started to become, I'm not a pro Mark Murphy guy, but I'm starting to try to figure out what Mark Murphy is doing. I'm trying to play chess while everybody else is playing checkers. The easy way, not to be a dick,
I know,
but the easy way for people to go is, fuck Mark Murphy. Mark Murphy doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He's Herb Cole, which is something I said. And then our friend Eric kind of talked me off that ledge.
Since you brought that up, I mean, Herb Cole did it for 30 years.
Right.
And this is 1 year of, essentially, you know, 1.5 years of.
But I think that a lot of people are like, is this the future ball? It, you know, is this the future? You know, is he becoming the Bruce Allen of the Packers? Bruce Allen has led a decade of dysfunction for the Washington Redskins. So is that what's becoming? Is he a Jerry Jones? You know what I mean? I think there are a lot of people who are scared of the future.
Yeah.
Now, for me, I'm kind of going into this.
I just think
this,
it's way too small of a sample.
100%. And that's what I sort of said. And I said, it's also like, literally, there's been a murderer's row of guys we can blame. And every one of them, not to be morbid, but every one of them is dead. So you have Ted Thompson, gone.
Right.
Mike McCarthy, gone. Dom Capers, gone. Who is left?
Aaron Rodgers and Mark Murphy.
That's it. Exactly. So it's the easy route to just immediately say, fuck this guy, instead of being like, taking that other side of it. I'm not going all
go
in.
Go to the next level.
Right. Exactly. Which is
get
what
to
we,
the secondary.
Exactly. But that's what we try to do on this podcast. What we try to do on our blog is like,
try to find the crease.
Exactly. And that's it. Exactly.
Find the daylight and go toward it.
And right. And I'm 100%. And
put
I love
points on the board.
You're greasing my tires. And I fucking love you for that. Because this is exactly what I'm trying to get at is let's not look at it like that. I'm not saying I'm not in my bag for Mark Murphy, but I'm also not going to be completely against him. I'm going to try to just take my time with it and not just immediately develop a take and try to assess everything. And I do think it's interesting that certain journalists, like we saw with the Bucks, similar, are starting to cape for guys.
Yep.
Jim Caldwell got suggested like by multiple people. What the fuck are we doing here? And then Jason LaCanfora, who I'm not a fan of, I can put that out there in the space. LaCanfora, national writer for CBS, said Pat Fitzgerald was the only guy to take the Packers to the promised land. Okay, so he explains why Fitzgerald would be a good fit. He's worked this turnaround, whole thing, yada, yada. Forgets two things. Number one, guess who Fitzgerald's agent is? Bob Harlan's kid. Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Mark Murphy hired him at Northwestern when Murphy was the AD. So, and he doesn't mention this in his post, in his column. How do you forget that? How do you just leave that out there? because it's driven by the agent. His agent and Fitzgerald's people are driving this.
Trying to become the head coach of the Packers.
And they're making him unattainable, saying, oh, he'd never leave Northwestern. And, oh, he'd never. He's Northwestern for life.
And I guess my response to that is, what the fuck has Pat Fitzgerald done? He's gone 8-4 a few times at Northwestern. And I know that they have limitations, probably much worse than the Badgers.
Yeah, I mean, he's been wildly successful. I mean, he's 75-30, but the point remains with Pat Fitzgerald is he said RPOs are communist. Like, that is not really today's NFL. I'm sorry.
Everybody does RPOs.
Exactly. And everything is updated in advance. Pat Fitzgerald is still running an offense from the might. You don't take a step forward with Pat Fitzgerald running your team, nor do you with like a Jim Harbaugh, who I can't believe that is even being floated out there.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, the Harbaugh boys do nothing for me. I just don't see it with those guys. I think Harbaugh's kind of a college. Jim Harbaugh is a college coach, so he's stuck at Michigan, losing 2 games a year.
Yep.
They're never gonna win a championship with him, but they can't fire him.
No,
they'll be good enough. I mean, eventually, 15 years from now.
Yeah, I mean, Harbaugh might decide at some point, you know, if the Colts are rolling right now, but if there's an opportunity for a job where it opens up there, where it makes sense for him to go back to the NFL, I think he would, but he needs a lot of control.
I think Bruce Arians would have been perfect, and I know he's now shot down everything, basically, way. And it stinks because I think that is kind of the guy. I think I'm on board with the Godfather-type coach, if you will. Like a Bruce Arians. I guess Jim Caldwell would probably fall in that category.
Come on.
And then you get like the hotshot offensive coordinator.
All right. So let me ask you then. If you want the Godfather, do you want Nick Saban? Nick Saban's 67. He's a year older than Arians. Do you want Nick Saban to coach Packers?
You got me by the balls here.
I do have you by the balls.
I hate Nick Saban, but I like the idea of it, kind of.
Okay. He gets
people to play, doesn't he?
He does.
Him and Rodgers would be fucking insane.
Uh-huh. Do you want to talk about dysfunction? That, to me, is setting up for failure because I poked a lot of holes in Jonathan Jones's column on Snowtap WI. It's a website basically explaining how there's no way the Packers would give Nick Saban $10 million.
Yeah.
They said out in the article.
Well, what's he up to at Alabama? Got to be around there.
Yeah. That they would give him $10 million. And I'm like, the Green Bay Packers? Are we talking about the same Packers team? Yeah. Like, I'm not saying they're cheap.
The team with no owner.
I'm not saying they're cheap, but like the teams that I would see offering a $10 million contract, Dallas, Washington. And that's who I pointed him. I'm like, Washington has like half of Alabama's defense on their roster already. They have a hard on for Alabama as is. They just play in a shitty fucking stadium, and you know, so they probably aren't desirable.
Washington?
Yeah.
I think that stadium's only like 20 years old.
Yeah, but nobody goes there.
They have a terrible owner.
Terrible owner. They are in a place where it's far away. It's in Landover, Maryland. Nobody can get to it. It's a mess to get there from a traffic perspective.
They traded Kirk Cousins, who's better than Alex Smith, and locked Alex Smith up.
I don't know if – are we sure Kirk Cousins is good, though?
I mean, no. But I mean, Kirk Cousins, Smith is again, not good.
Kirk Cousins is an average quarterback.
Right, and so is Alex Smith.
Right, and I'm not convinced
Marginally better.
I'm not convinced that the Vikings will make the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying the Packers will make it. I'm not even going down that route. But if you're telling me, would I be shocked if the Vikings are 7-8 when one? Not really.
Carolina's falling apart.
They are, and it might even be the Eagles. I don't know. And
that's the whole funny thing going back to the Packers is, I mean, they had a gift given to them on Sunday.
Yeah.
And they couldn't take advantage.
I think that.
I think the kiss of death for McCarthy was when he said he doesn't know what the hell he's going to do.
I think that
Mark
was
Murphy probably heard that and he was like, this dude's done.
Yeah, he's given up. He thought everybody quit on him, and so now we need a fresh start. Let me ask you, if, say, Carolina would have won, say even the Vikings would have been on their way to winning, because he fired him before the game was over.
Yeah.
Do you think Murphy may have had a second thought of this and, like, made him less mad and been like, all right, well, we're kind of fucked, and any which way, we're probably not going to make the playoffs? Because weirdly enough, even though they lost, that door is still kind of open. There is a way.
Yeah.
And the Bears losing also, you know, the division.
So the firing may jumpstart the team?
Yeah, but, I don't want to make the playoffs. I'd rather be a top 15 draft pick.
Well, I mean, what are you, 11th pick right now? 10th. 10th?
Yeah.
It's getting better.
Right. It's like, I know.
You're so close to Ed Oliver, Chuck.
I know. The Ed Oliver, the Ed Oliver thing is real, and
Well, he'd look pretty nice next to Kenny Clark.
Sure would. Ed Oliver, Mike Daniels, and Kenny Clark is like the drooling emoji, which usually is for sex, but for this, we'll make it for just drooling because that would be an absolute wet dream. Even if Ed Oliver is a little bit of a hothead, that's okay. That's fine.
Well, I mean, you could use somebody like that.
No,
I mean,
exactly.
You really could.
Absolutely. And like,
enough of this fucking Packer way stuff.
I even looked at like Devin White from LSU, who is like the Buckus Award winner. He's kind of a good dude, but he's not going to get drafted till mid round, probably more like 2021. But mock drafts are all over the place right now because I think it's kind of a guessing game. We have to see how these guys do in combines. We have to see what the needs really are. Like,
well, you won't see him in bowl games.
Oh, well, yeah. And I don't really have a problem with that. I think
I don't either.
I think, you know, make your money, you know, get that. Like, yeah, you're not really turning your back on your team. You're like, you know what? I'm not going to do this for you guys. Like, fuck you. Like, it's not turning your back. You're just trying to make money. It's a business decision. Is anyone really going to criticize somebody for making that sort of business decision?
Yeah. Do you think any of those players really care whether or not they win the, you know, Cracker Jack Bowl?
It only becomes a big deal if it's like the college football playoff.
Right.
If someone were to say, I'm going to skip, like Nick Bosa kind of did and said, I was going to skip the year, and Ohio State had a reasonable shot to get into the playoff, and he got hurt and was like, you know what? I'm not even going to risk it coming back. I'm just going to train with my brother. But I do think the Bosa boys are weird dudes in general. There are some screws loose.
They're the Watt brothers on steroids.
They're the waspy versions of the Watt brothers.
They are like the anti-Watt brothers.
Because they have a lot of money.
Right.
And so they don't really need it. They don't really need football. They could retire tomorrow and mommy and daddy are taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the silver spoon Watts.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and not that JJ is really a blue collar person. He's from fucking Pewaukee. But still, he's at least a hard worker and isn't someone that's going to stir the pot like Joey or Nick.
Yeah, he comes from modest. I mean,
not upper middle class.
Right.
So, and moving it back to the Packers, since we're just rolling down a rabbit hole, but that's what we do here. You know, the coaching carousel is going to be fascinating. It's going to be all over the place. We're going to hear rumors literally they're going to wait for a while. Like you just said it before we started. You're like, this is going to be a 6-week topic. And it is. I mean, today Winston Moss tweeted some reckless stuff, was basically like the Lombardi standard. And because he put number 12 in that tweet, everybody lost their mind when he got fired. And in my opinion, it was a good move by Joe Philbin. Joe Philbin saw insubordination. Joe Philbin saw a guy who could potentially leak things out to the media, saw a guy who might have been upset that he didn't get the head coaching job because he's interviewed for defensive coordinators.
And I looked at it, and he is the associate head coach.
Right.
So theoretically, if something should happen to the head coach, he moves in there. And I did think of that. People were talking about him. You know, I think it was Monday, and I'm like, yeah, why didn't he?
Yeah, and so he was, you know, why wouldn't he be the sort of, co-coach or whatever? And it's obvious he had some screws loose, and they got rid of him. And I think the other part of it is he has a direct line to McCarthy. He's been McCarthy's boy. He's been with him for all 13 years.
Yeah.
There is no reason why you should keep him on staff if you're worried that he's going to start leaking things out to the media. And
right,
start.
And in his exact position, I mean, that he coaches, has not been good either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, see ya.
Later. Yeah, we don't need you. If you're gonna talk shit,
does he not coach pass rush?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
I know they have good sack numbers, but, I mean, the guys, you're getting nothing from Perry.
It's not consistent.
Clay Matthews.
Yeah,
I mean, Kyler Fackrell had a couple good games.
The only guy that's sort of developed has been Kyler Fackrell and a little bit of Reggie Gilbert. But how much of that is God-given? How much of that is, you know, them just be growing into their bodies a little more? Then it's not really coaching development. You don't see it from, you know, Clay Matthews in learning new moves. Nick Perry's been a ghost. See you later. I'm trying to think back, like, when is it ever a good idea to tweet as a coach? I mean, Would that ever be a good idea? If a player
offseason, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But even then, like, that's a weird move, man. And they basically were like, and he's a weird dude. Like, he had that whole issue with the
and
media.
That could have been part of it.
And I think it was. And that's what Joe Philbin said. I think the guy probably had a three-strike rule. And I think he ran out of strike three. And that was like, all right, one more thing, and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one more thing. And it was like, all right, bye. I wish they would have done that to Ron Zook, but I guess Ron Zook keeps getting jobs. So whatever. Not jobs, but the fact that he's still the special teams coach is unbelievable to me. They're so bad on special teams.
Yeah. J.K. Scott's been kind of
It's not really J.K. Scott. It's like the penalties. It's like the returners. Now, granted, Jair Alexander actually looked pretty good. That was like one of the
Wasn't it Alexander who returned the one where he let it go inside the five?
He did also make that mistake, but it was a youth. I mean, he did make a mistake, but like there, Ryan Wood, I thought, had one of the better quotes of the week saying that they looked like a distracted team, and that was the word that have stuck out to me more than anything else is, and I'm like, yeah, they've been distracted all year. And if you tie it back to what we talked about at the beginning about the Bucks, when the Bucks had Jason Kidd under the thumb for the first 3 months of the season, they played distracted. They played like turnovers. Well,
they didn't want to play for the guy anymore.
Right. And sometimes that's a combination of I don't want to play for him or I'm not going to give my 100% because I just don't want to and I'm distracted and why won't we just get a new coach?
Yeah.
And so I do think that, yes, Murphy should have gotten rid of McCarthy at the start of this before the season started. And I think there was justifiable cause to say, all right, we're starting brand new. We're getting in Brian Gutekunst. I'm going to make the hire. Brian's going to have input, just like he said now. And I don't think there is massive, you know, outrage. Of course, Bob McGinn said on the fan yesterday or day before that they should have hired John Dorsey, which I thought was ridiculous because John Dorsey has murdered caps. You know, like he is a cap space murderer. And I'm like, why the hell would you want John Dorsey running this program?
Plus, there's nobody left. Right from
This was before like Elliot Wolf and Highsmith.
Okay.
Like those guys would have
likely
stayed.
So before they fired Ted or
right,
around then.
Right. But Elliot Wolf would have probably got a job elsewhere. I mean, or Gutekunst would have got a job elsewhere. And I think it goes back to Murphy got cucked by Ted Thompson and he didn't want to take it anymore. So he wants to balance that power a little bit more.
Then you have the whole Russ Ball thing.
Yeah, Russ Ball is an interesting one. Like, that's another guy who
You haven't heard his name at all.
He's kind of like, I don't know if I want to say he's like Littlefinger from Game of Thrones. You won't understand that reference.
No.
But that's okay. Other people will. But like, where is Russ Ball in all of this? Where is he? Is he just in?
There wasn't he the one that if they hired him as GM, McCarthy was out?
Right.
Like he was
McCarthy and him did not get along but Russ Ball to me in the MMQB article that Kalen Crowler wrote last week had Ball was sort of the guy who like enforced like dress code, enforced like not wearing your hats backwards.
Russ Ball?
Yeah. That was
Russ
Ball.
So he'd come
Ball.
Down to the locker room and just be a Nazi?
Yes. And so that part of it, I think that scared the Packers a little bit. But then my question is like, is that still going on even though Russ Ball is at a new position? Like, where is Russ Ball in all this? It's a great question. Is he just running numbers? Are we sure?
I doubt it.
That was his main job. He was the cap guy.
Yeah.
So is he running numbers? What is he doing for this team right now? And that's, I think, a valid question for where is Russ Ball in all of this? And that's a question I don't think Mark Murphy has been asked, has he?
I haven't heard his name come up at all. So.
Yeah, exactly. So what's going on there? Where is his involvement? Is he part of the – I'm sure Murphy will have a committee of people that interview coaches, and I'm sure Ball will be a part of that committee. Now, how much of his influence matters? Probably very little, but he's definitely a guy who will, I'm sure, have a seat at the table, as they say in the business world. So
– yeah.
We'll see what happens. I mean, it'll be very fascinating. As for the game itself, I really think you have two of it's like the disappointing bowl. You have the two probably biggest disappointments of the year,
Yeah, and, just what, 2 years ago, these teams were in the NFC Championship game?
Right, and you'll hear that a lot on Sunday, and, you know, it's going to be brutal. I'm going to be at the game. It's going to be a little cold. About 23. It's sunny.
That's the other thing they were talking about was on last Sunday against Arizona. A lot of people were leaving.
Yeah.
There's a lot of empty seats.
Here's the thing. I called my dad, and I needed to pick something up in my parents' house, and I was like, hey, I don't want to talk about the Packers. This is before McCarthy got fired. He's like, you take it too seriously. I go, probably. But here's the thing. I paid good money, honest money, to go up to that game next week, and it is completely for naught. Like, here I was when I got offered the tickets, it was the right before the Seattle game. So I'm like, okay, they're getting to make their run in the playoffs. Like, it's 4-6.
They'll win a couple of these.
Yeah, here we go. Like, they might be 5-6-1 heading into this game and everything like that. And then they lose to Arizona, and it's like even when they lost to Minnesota, it's like, all right, get right spot, like we talked about last week, like 31-14, feeling good. And then it just didn't happen. So I was so disappointed. It was just like last week. I wasn't even mad. I was just so bummed out that, like, I wasted my time and money on these tickets. And I'm like, it doesn't fucking matter. Going to meaningless basketball, going to meaningless baseball is different, because if you're going to meaningless baseball, the roof's closed or it's a good sunny day in late August.
Yeah, good point. You're going to freeze your nuts off now.
You go to a basketball game, you're right in the middle of downtown. So if it's a Thursday night, it's a Friday night, maybe you get drunk after the game and you have a night out after the fact. When you go to Lambeau, it's like you have a couple beers, but...
And this is it.
It's it.
You know, this is your...
Exactly.
This is the pinnacle of your day.
Exactly. And so... But now with the firing of McCarthy, it'll be really interesting to just see what the fan sort of emotion will be like. And if the Packers come out blazing hot and put up 21 points in the first quarter, or first two quarters, the takes would be wild. I mean, I'm going to miss some of the... I think for the dysfunctional people in the world, you cheer for a blowout, because everybody will just be piling on Rodgers. And I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah. They're going to be. You pointed it out well. He's damned if he does,
fucked.
Damned if he doesn't. Because, you know, if he doesn't, it's more of the same. And then if he goes off, it's going to be, well, where's that been all year? Like,
Yeah, like, and Rodgers was tanking the year. You'll get so many pinhead takes that, like, Rodgers was trying to get his coach fired. Rodgers was this. Rodgers was that. And I'd argue, going back to my point I made a few minutes ago, the team's not distracted anymore. The proverbial gorilla is off his back.
The black cloud.
That is not a fat joke at Mike McCarthy either. It's a figure of speech. But seriously, like, remember, guys.
Yeah, nobody's fat shaming Mike McCarthy.
No. Remember, when the Bucs got rid of Jason Kidd, they what? Won 8 of their next 10?
They got really hot. Yeah, I think they had a favorable schedule, if I remember.
That had something to do with it, 100%. But some of those games they would have lost. And I mean, we remember we went to the game in Chicago. I think that was right after.
That was like a week or two
after.
It was probably within 2 weeks after.
Right, and they looked like a different team. And we had went to a couple games in the Jason Kidd era, too, and it was like, this Bucs team looks entirely different.
Yeah.
And so don't be surprised. Like, if the Packers lose or it's a close game, whatever. But if they win by 2 scores, 3 scores, don't be mad about it. Just try to understand why it's happening. I think we just look at things and we react instead of taking just a step back and thinking, why is this happening? Asking yourself why. We need to do more of that with our sports fandom. And I really like lean on a lot of people to do this. And if you're a listener to this program, when you're like watching stuff and you're reacting, ask yourself why before you just immediately go out with a hot take. If you're going to go with a hot take, just be funny about it. Like I said today, like, at first I like quote tweeted the haul that the St. Louis Cardinals got for gold, or I'm sorry, the Arizona Diamondbacks. Yeah, that's hard. Arizona Diamondbacks got for Paul Goldschmidt. And I was like, collusion, whatever. I'm like, I don't want Ken Rosenthal thinking I'm some idiot. So I deleted it and then did my own tweet. Like, if he has an MVP season, I'm calling out La Russa for collusion. But we'll get to Paul Goldschmidt in a little bit.
True. I hadn't thought of that at all yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was like the first thing I thought of.
Wow.
So anyways, I would like to move to the Bucks. Okay. And the Bucks,
they are up by 10 at half against Detroit.
That's good. And we said they wouldn't cover an 8.5-point spread. Who knew? Also,
after watching, it's halftime, after watching the Knicks rain fucking jumpers. I mean, they shot 60% on Saturday from three.
Speaking of
Kevin Knox had like 26 points. Emmanuel Mudiay had 28.
Speaking of a team from New York, how the fuck is Oklahoma City losing to Brooklyn by 16 points? They've been just away.
Brooklyn's been horrible,
right,
too.
Right, exactly. Says the guy who bet them 7.5 tonight. Just
Brooklyn lost like 8 or 9 in a row, or something.
Just fucking. Sometimes NBA betting just drives me crazy. Had a good night last night, though, so I can't be too mad. Anyways, here nor there. I know you just sigh in disbelief. But when the Knicks were raining threes, Chris Middleton was not on the court. He was put in the doghouse. Now Chris Middleton misses today's game, or tonight's game. We're taping this Wednesday night. He missed tonight's game with personal reasons. And it's now,
I mean,
it's kind of a thing.
It's weird because it's the timing and the optics of a not with team personal reasons is not good.
No.
After getting benched.
No.
You know, and it very well could be his grandma died or something.
Right.
And he's back in South Carolina.
Right.
But who knows?
Yeah,
and all signs pointed to that they were fine. They cleared the air, and I personally thought it was the right move for Bud.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to set a precedent that it's okay to give up a 5-0 run personally, you know, at the end of the third quarter against the New York Knicks, and you know, really kill your momentum that you had. I mean, the Bucks were up by like 16 or 17 in the third quarter in that game.
Yeah,
they had gone on a 17-0 run, and they were up, you know, double digits, and then just. The shit hit the fan, and the Knicks started making crazy shots. Mudiay became a shooter, and it just was not good. So I don't know if you can blame that on the Bucks defense or what, but it just wasn't good. And so Middleton didn't play, and you saw Giannis taking an attempted game winner, and he barely drew any contact with anything around the basket. And that was a situation where you probably could have used Chris Middleton.
Oh, yeah.
But again, I was okay with just the way, just lay down the proverbial law. And let's move forward.
Right.
Maybe you get a motivated Chris Middleton. Hopefully, one would assume you get a motivated Chris Middleton. And now this pops up at the last minute tonight.
So here's what Matty V said. And Matty V is our boy. We love Matt Velasquez. Matt Velasquez would, if we do start doing guests, he's probably in my top. He's in my top echelon of guys I'd like to talk to.
Well, you can tune into the Milwaukee Bucks.
I know. You guys do a good job. I listen to
that. Excuse me, not the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show.
Bless you.
Every night after the games.
So Velasquez
says on every night.
Is he on every night?
Every game.
That's awesome. Based off
unless he has like some crazy deadline or something, but
based off of what has been said at recent practices, I have no reason to believe Chris Middleton's absence was expected. He and Bud cleared the air after the Knicks game. All signs pointed to him playing tonight, and so basically he's like, everybody stop.
Yeah.
Like, that is kind of what he's doing and saying.
Well, the replies are gold, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just read, like, Chris Middleton. Like, I just typed it in Twitter. Everyone's thinking he's getting traded for John Wall because Wall is also missing with personal reasons tonight. Yes.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I didn't either, and then I bet on the Wizards. But, you know, here and
you
there.
You might have a dead friend if that happens.
I will call you to check in.
You know where I got that from?
No.
I was watching Making a Murderer right before I left. And have you seen the second part of that?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't.
Well, then I won't.
I don't care. Well, I'm not a big Making a Murderer
There's
guy.
A part where the Steven's new lawyer is going after Barb Totick, Brendan's mom.
Okay.
Going after his stepdad.
Okay.
As the potential murderer.
Yeah.
And they tape a phone conversation between Barb and Stephen Avery while he's in jail.
Yeah.
She's like, what the fuck is going on? And he's like, you stop this or you're going to have a dead sister. She's like, I can't take this anymore or something like that. So anyway, it was a hilarious phone. It was a lot of swearing.
They don't edit that out, right?
No.
Yeah, it's all there.
It's all there.
You got to do it in the Maguana, the
Manitowoc. Yeah, that's what's funny.
You're gonna have a dead sister.
Because Barb is furious that his lawyer is bringing her. Not only is her son in jail, but now her coming after her husband.
Yeah.
And
Good for
Stephen's just kind of like, yeah, well, if that's where the evidence takes him.
Then. Look, if John Wall is dealt to the Bucks, I will also be very depressed, and we will have a lot. There will be a lot of conversations, but I doubt that.
You got me.
I have you worried because you.
No, I don't think they would.
No, it just there's no way. There's just no way, and so I really think...
I wouldn't worry, but...
No. Also, too, did you see...
You'd have to be the dumbest team in the league to take on that contract.
Right. Absolutely. That would be just an absolutely wild move for the Bucks to make. And I just think it's... Maybe he has the poops. Maybe he just... Hmm. He has diarrhea.
Bucks ran a 2-3 tonight.
Oh, well.
For a little bit.
Hey, you know? So I'm not really worried about the Chris Middleton drama. I mean, is this a big week for the Bucks?
Yes.
Yes. Is it nice to see that the Bucks have came out in the first half with a little piss and vinegar after losing to New York?
Well,
yes.
You know, get the other team to miss some shots.
Well, right, but
because that wasn't happening on Saturday,
right? And you had a few days off. You had some time to think about that Knicks loss. You had time to stew, and you came out there and you hit Detroit in the mouth. Now you have to play four quarters and finish it off, but. This is an encouraging start for the Bucks, and
yeah, because you're probably not going to beat Golden State.
I think they can beat Golden State.
Well, they can, but I just think you're going to take Golden State's best shot.
Are you forgetting that Golden State allowed 86 points in the post against the Bucks?
Correct.
Has it came to your head that Golden State might be a bad matchup for Golden State?
Oh, it's always been there.
Right. And the Bucks can finally exploit it because Giannis is just a superhuman.
I just think if you pick
and he gets a home whistle.
Oof. Yeah, I don't think that matters, but I mean
it does. I mean, for guys like Anthony Davis and Giannis, home whistles matter.
I just think you're gonna get Golden State's best shot with a fairly healthy team.
They're not.
Is Draymond back?
No.
Yeah, no one knows what's going on there.
He has a toe injury.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So would you trade
if it was a playoff game, he'd play, right?
Can I ask you a question? Because
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't trade for Draymond?
Absolutely not.
For Middleton?
No.
For Bledsoe?
No.
Really?
He plays the same position as Giannis.
You can't
put them together.
You could put Giannis at center and put Draymond at the four.
I don't like that. I like the way they have it.
Draymond's not a better version.
I'd give Brook Lopez a blank check.
Draymond's not
a better
version of Ersan Ilyasova.
Draymond, of course he is.
I'm saying he plays a similar style to Ersan with less shooting.
Yeah, but he's not coming off the bench.
Oh, fuck no.
So
absolutely not.
It doesn't make any sense.
Listen, Mitch, I'm just asking the question.
Well, okay, I'll humor you. What was the trade?
No, there wasn't a trade.
Oh.
Someone brought up the question of, it was Simmons and Russillo last week, and we're saying, would you trade Draymond? And
who likes Draymond Green around here anyway?
No, no.
In the state of Wisconsin.
No. Draymond. Nobody. Draymond's like about as popular as Urban Meyer, head football coach of Green Bay Packers. that's
yeah,
real.
He retires the day after he announces his retirement after.
Super convenient, right?
McCarthy, we didn't talk about that at all.
Oh, man. Nah, we don't need to. Urban Meyer's a snake. He'll be back. He'll be at USC next year. You see USC's schedule next year?
Because Cliff is going to spurn USC and come to Green Bay and be the offensive coordinator?
Nah, Cliff's locked in.
Once Jim Caldwell's the head coach?
You're such an asshole. You're going to use this Jim Caldwell line on me too much. And it's just going to drive me crazy. Yeah. And Stephen Avery will be like, oh, that's another dead guy there. Yeah. I've seen a dead body. That's... That Jim Caldwell, that new backer coach, he also dead.
Yeah.
Where was I? I don't even. Oh,
trades
Draymond,
with Draymond Green and.
Nah. So I do think the Bucks can beat Golden State. The Raptors, I have a lot of concerns about. The Raptors have been beatable at home. They were trailing to the Sixers early tonight.
Well, I think it begins this tough stretch for the Raptors.
Yeah, and also too, it is a Sunday night in Toronto. Meaning the Bucks will be there Saturday, which, if you know anything about Toronto, it is a party town, and that the hangover Bucks could be in full effect.
The clubs are,
yes,
considered some of the best in the league.
Exactly. Toronto is top notch to anyone who
top notch nightlife.
Top notch nightlife. Strip clubs I've heard are very nice in the Canadian area. This would not be a surprise if the Bucks came in had. Hungover, old.
But
ass.
They did get the one win last year there in overtime, I believe.
Right, they did better, and then
got shit pumped on New Year's Day, which kind of goes into your point.
Yes, I don't know.
Actually, I think that one went to overtime too.
That's it. Budenholzer has, at least in the first game that he played against Nick Nurse's new Raptors, did really well against him. Even though there was no Giannis, there was no Kawhi. You hope Giannis and Kawhi are both playing.
Or
in this
Fred
game.
VanVleet and DeLon Wright. Like, those guys even matter. But well, I saw a lot of that.
I also couldn't believe,
like, wow, guys.
Michael Lee today of The Athletic said, the Raptors and Sixers, the two best teams in the East from record-wise. I'm like, did you just forget the fucking Bucks, bud?
Yeah.
If the Sixers win tonight, they're a 6.5-point dog. It's going to be so insufferable.
Oh, yeah.
They're wearing headbands. I hate the Sixers. I really do.
Oh, I got more reason to hate him now, Jimmy Butler. I don't really hate Jimmy Butler. I just don't like him.
I've told you, Jimmy Butler is on an excommunication.
He just rubs me the wrong way.
The Sixers and their headbands can go fuck themselves.
They have 49 points at halftime. Nice try, bud.
Are they losing?
Yeah.
By how much?
53-49.
Okay.
This is like a 2005 halftime numbers here on a lot of these games.
Hey.
Oh, except for Washington and Atlanta.
What's that?
Well, they have 103. Washington's sneaky again all of a sudden. I don't know. Are they going to trade anybody? Like, they've been playing a lot better.
They're on a three-game winning streak. What's the Washington score?
They're up 103-83.
Okay.
2 minutes left in the third quarter.
I bet the Wizards. That's good. That's good stuff.
They're playing better. I mean.
My Magic are an OT. I've become, like, because I'm sports betting on a regular basis, I now have teams that aren't the Bucks because I've done well with them.
It's like if I play 2K with a team,
kind of.
And you get a 2K team,
like
you kind of are partial to.
The Magic, I'm very impartial to. I'm impartial to the Mavericks, the T-Wolves. Those are
some... Well, Golden State and Cleveland played, and that wasn't even on ESPN, was it?
Not well. I mean, come on.
That was primetime national TV the last 6 years.
No, my Mavs are getting shit pumped, which I should have saw coming, but I still...
Orlando took Denver to OT.
Yes. So
yeah, Orlando's sneaky.
We might need to cut this. This is bad, very bad radio.
Let's just move on.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going over it. And now you like gave me the opening to like, hey, let me check my bets for tonight.
Well, I had to look at Toronto because I didn't want them to beat, or at Philly. I didn't want Philly to beat Toronto because
no,
I don't want to hear it.
You don't want to hear it. And that's the thing. Philly is at the height of annoyance and people are just going to sleep on the Bucks, which is fine. The only real way the Bucks will get into the focus again is if they sweep this week and they beat Detroit, they beat Golden State, and they beat Toronto.
Yeah.
I think there is a very small chance.
And that would certainly
happening.
Make up for the kind of the, you know, middling play they've had the last couple weeks.
100%. It would balance it out a little bit. And you have two games against Cleveland next week. You have a game against Indiana, who's still missing Victor Oladipo. So there are opportunities, even if you aren't successful. Next week's a little easier for you. So
yeah,
I'm just not overreacting with the Bucks because, as Kyle Lowry said about their matchup with Golden State, he said, what game is it? And the reporter goes, game 23. Oh, out of how many games? Game 82. All right, then. I'm not worried. It's just the game.
Yeah.
And that's
that was after a win.
Right, exactly. And that's just how you have to take it because it doesn't matter that much. Starts mattering after Christmas, we can start having conversations.
Now, as a media member of sorts, I feel for the guy, the reporter, a little bit, because you just want a quote about your goddamn story, and you
this
can't
get it. This
was
before the Warriors game for reference. It was like...
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was
I thought it was after.
It was like, how important is this game to you?
Yeah, okay, well, that makes a little
Lowry,
more sense.
And Lowry goes, yeah, it's game 23.
So you can maybe get that quote after the game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, before the game... I understand.
I mean, Kyle Lowry, kind of a dick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
He's from North Philly. King of North Philly.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck him.
Yeah, you know what would be a good podcast when in the winter and that we should keep in our tickler file? The Fuck 'Em All-Stars. Because there's a lot of guys that I think we just hate in the NBA between us.
I mean, all Toronto Raptors,
well,
except for Kawhi, because I don't have a reason to hate him yet.
No, not yet. Goran Dragic, because he'll steal your woman.
yeah.
And just kind
I'd
of
take him, though.
Kind of a dick.
Not for that money, but...
No. Yeah, there's
this
guys.
Point.
There are guys. So, yeah, we'll put that away. We'll think about that going
Kyle
forward.
Kyle Lowry, because he hits 35-footers.
Yeah,
Kyle. That's all he does.
DeMar DeRozan, just kind of a PTSD thing. You know, even though he can't hurt us anymore in the postseason, he once inflicted pain.
Oh, well, you never know. Could be in the finals against the Spurs.
Terry Rozier, also in that group.
Yeah.
But that I blame Eric Bledsoe partly for that.
Yeah,
Eric Bledsoe just keeps his mouth shut. And it might not have happened. Just one of those things. It's like you just poke the bear, and he reacts.
Mess with the bull, you get the horns.
You bet. So we'll see what happens to the Bucks this week. I'm excited. Definitely worth the watch. I got to get out to the Fiserv Forum. I haven't seen the Bucks in person this year. I feel kind of like a slump.
That's a little embarrassing.
Yeah, it is.
But
I'm not going to lie.
It's a little pricier this year. I mean, this time around, it's... I don't think it's enough, you know, if you know how to work the secondary market. A lot of people apparently don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, if you look at Twitter sometimes. But, you know...
Right.
It's a little notch up, but it's not like unreasonable.
No, and it's more of that. I feel like I've been
like
busier.
You probably could have gone to Wednesday night's Detroit game for under $50.
Yeah. And I probably could
have probably sat lower level.
Exactly. And I probably could have done that at the Bulls game on Wednesday. There were a lot of.
It
was actually, I take that back. It was pretty full when I watched the second half of that game.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I just got to get out there, and I'm sure I'll find a time where it makes sense for me to get out there. But. Obviously watching all that I can. Moving on, finishing up the show with the Paul Goldschmidt news. So we were going to talk some hot stove. I didn't really know what, but I was like, well, it's boiling. It's bubbling, and Paul Goldschmidt gets traded to the St. Louis Cardinals. So all of a sudden, the Cardinals have thrown themselves into the contender mix, if you will.
Yep. I'm guessing the Cardinals just figured, well, we got to make a move.
And
because the Cubs are going to be good, and the Brewers should, in theory, be good again.
Right. And they didn't really give up that much. I mean, Luke Weaver's all right. They gave up a catcher who's going to be 2 years behind Yadier Molina, which is hilarious that Yadier Molina still has that much cachet. But I feel like Yadi would either have to die or retire before he's giving up his catching spot.
Probably.
He could hit like 112, and they still would be like, he's a good defensive catcher. Yeah. You need him.
Takes him about 9.5 seconds to run to first base, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I did see a highlight. I came across something where, you know, it was a defensive highlight mashup from the season or something.
Right.
And there was one where, like, the guy bobbled, like, rolled around and, like, got up and threw him out. And I was like, Yadier Molina's running to first base. That's why
so
you had a, slow. That's why you had a week and a half to throw it
the
over
Molina
first.
The Molina brothers, though, are all slow. Like, Jose, Benji, they're all fucking slow. It's just in the genes. Sometimes it's just in your genes.
They're just
slow.
They're just fat dudes.
They're just fat guys who are slow and play a little good defensive catcher. But yeah,
with Benji in particular taking
Benji,
the cake.
Benji was a fat load. He was a big old unit.
Yeah, he was.
So Benji never strayed too far from the buffet line.
No.
The Goldschmidt deal, great for the Cardinals. Obviously they make the move to try to get a guy to really shore up the middle of their order. They had nobody hit 30 home runs last year besides Matt Carpenter.
Well, they just haven't really replaced like Pujols.
Right, and they now have it. Now, that's a lot of pressure.
And it's been 5 years, but...
That's a lot of pressure for Goldschmidt, no question about it. But also, too, the other thing about it is...
Right, first base for the Cardinals is...
That's a big deal.
McGwire, that's...
Yeah, and...
I mean, some of the best hitters of all time.
But you go to a better hitting environment. Chase Field, they put the humidor in last year, and I think it really screwed up Goldschmidt. I think that's why he was so cold to start the year, because his home ballpark had changed, and I think that messed him up.
Well, Arizona had that tailspin free fall. Like, the Brewers beat him.
Yeah.
They swept him, twice in 10 days or something?
Yes. Yeah, but then they recovered, and then they were in the mix, and then they tailed off again. They had a really weird year. Partly also, too, the humidor. Be careful. I don't think Patrick Corbin was worth that money. And that humidor, I think, helped out a lot of Patrick Corbin and his stats. I thought that was a massive overpay by the Washington Nationals.
What that deal was like over $20 million a year, wasn't it?
6 years, 146.
Holy balls. Is he even close to that good? I mean,
no.
I mean, that's the weird thing is like.
I don't know.
And maybe it's because of the market size, but the Brewers are doing the complete opposite.
Right.
And that seems to be where baseball is trending.
Exactly. And so.
And Giants fans still think they're getting like Burns and Woodruff.
Yeah, exactly.
For Mad Bum.
Yeah. So the Grant, or not Granky, I was going to say he's an inch. I'll get to Granky in a second. But Goldie, I mean, that's a major move. The Cardinals still have issues. Like, the Cardinals still have a lot of bullpen problems. There's still some questions about that starting rotation. Like,
They have a pretty young rotation.
Exactly.
Wainwright's not what he was.
Right. They're going to be in the mix, but you cannot say, does this move put them ahead of the Brewers in your mind? I don't think so.
No.
I really don't, and I don't think that's biased of me.
Got to dethrone the Kings.
Exactly. And I think it's like, does Goldschmidt hit
As
well?
As Tristan Thompson said, Eastern Conference still comes through Cleveland.
Does
And then Joel Embiid trolled him after they played him. That was great.
does... Does Goldschmidt hit well at Wrigley Field? Yes. Does he hit well at Miller Park? Yes. Those are good things.
Everybody does.
Well, exactly. But Goldschmidt has some
except
serious
for the Brewers and Wrigley.
He has some serious numbers at Miller Park. He really has done well there.
And so does Zach Greinke.
Yeah, well, and that's an interesting thing. So now that the market's sort of open right now for the Diamondbacks and that the Diamondbacks are now willing to trade off
assets. They got their for sale signs up. And
do you, if they're doing a complete teardown like the Mariners just did, and Greinke's the next one to go per Bob Nightingale, but said nothing's imminent. So the Brewers dealt for Greinke right around Christmas in 2011, or then. I mean, why not just go back to, well, you'd have to have Arizona take some of his contract. He has owed like $36 million over the next 3 years. If they take on 20 of that all day, not even think about it, do it. Stearns has
$36 million per year.
I can't remember.
He had a huge, just a ridiculous. He
it
had
might
like,
be 36 a year.
It might be.
And so I don't know. Hey, can you look it up? Go to SportRack.
Let's do it.
I can keep talking. So, but yeah, Greinke. I mean, to add a guy like Greinke, first of all, he's obviously the Miller Park numbers are unbelievable. He was so good at Miller Park; it was unreal. The guy
6 year, $206 million contract.
Holy shit!
So he's getting all right. So the average salary is 34.4.
Yep.
He's getting 34.5 this year, 35, and then 35.
Okay, so that would be, to do that math, the Cardinals would have to at least eat a lot of that
Arizona,
contract.
Diamondbacks?
Diamondbacks. I'm getting screwed up. But yeah, they're going to have to eat some of that contract. That's $102 million over the next 3 years, just with basic 34 as the starting
Correct.
Point. If the Cardinals eat that and defer some of that cash, and you know, I don't know how you make that work.
And he's 35.
Yeah, man, that contract might be too big. I love Zach Greinke, but that contract is...
Ooh. Well, I mean, if Arizona's eating half of it, you know.
Oh, man, if they eat half, that would be... Then you do it, 100%, no question.
Because you're looking at 3 years, essentially 110 million, 115.
Right.
Jesus.
You can talk yourself into it a little bit more. They might not be able to move Greinke until next year. After then, it's back. Then it's another year off, another $34 million.
Yeah.
And then you can at least. Then I think a team can say, "All right, well, we'll take 1 year."
Well, unless like the Dodgers come calling.
Maybe. And there are other teams who could come calling.
He goes back to the Dodgers.
But you know, with Greinke's anxiety, which it's crazy, like mental health issues are such a thing that is accepted in today's game. But when Greinke dealt with it, it was still sort of hush hush. And you wonder just how Greinke's career might have been different in today's era.
Yeah, maybe.
Really do. And so is he going to want to play in a big market? Is he was fine in L.A., but L.A. is relaxed. If he went to the Knicks or the Mets.
You're having trouble with team names tonight.
I know, I'm done, man. It's struggle bus city. Mets and Yankees. I don't know if that'd be great for his psyche. So I apologize for all the name screw-ups. We'll try to get better next week for the Stone Cold.
There's a lot of different sports we touched on tonight.
Well,
so.
We did. We touched on the bitch of the beast, Mitch, was we touched on ones where there were similar teams like New York, St. Louis, Arizona. It was just there was a lot of that meshing. So hope you guys endured it. We'll be back next week. I'll talk about what Lambeau is like. We'll also chat about what the Bucks did this week, and then they have the Rust Belt Roadie, as Mitch called it, called it in our chat. I love that.
Indy, Cleveland, Detroit.
You bet. Love it. All right. Take care, guys. Have yourself a great rest of the week. We'll be back for Weekend Watch List tomorrow.
Stay safe. Peace.
Oh, that was nice. Worried about those Christmas parties.